We'll learn a lot about soy and the feminization of people with soy products, a lot of soy products. There's a lot of estrogens, and that could be a bad thing, both for women who are being told that this is a product that they should eat to avoid the symptoms of menopause or of PMS. Not so, says Dr. Kalin, and we'll get back to more of your questions and comments on that. But I can verify that now that I think about it. You know, about halfway through my year and a half as a vegetarian, I started wanting to watch Hope Floats every day and a lot of Maury Povich. Who knew the two were related? We'll come back. We'll get your questions and comments next on the whole soy story on Coast to Coast Live. This is Ian Punnett. Let's pick up right where we left off with Dr. Kayla Daniel. You know, part of what you said there, I mean, I totally relate to it. It's really kind of how I live my life. I buy a lot of my groceries at the St. Paul Farmers Market. I get homegrown bison or beef, and I'm big on natural products. I find that they taste better. But, I mean, is there really any evidence, though, if we're really talking scientific, aren't we required to use the same criteria we would be using when we're talking about tofu or soybeans not being good for you? Can't we say that there really isn't any scientific proof that if you eat slow food, so to speak, and eschew processed foods, that you're really going to live longer? I mean, is there any evidence to back that up?
There's a lot of evidence that the processed foods contain carcinogens and other toxins that will affect our health. So, okay. So that would be pretty good evidence.
But part of what you said there was about eating slow foods, eating locally grown foods. And we can't really say that there's any evidence that that is going to make us live longer or that we would avoid diseases if we did that. I mean, I understand it as sort of a political statement, you know, in the sense of, you know, this is what you believe in. But sticking to the science of it, is there anything that says if you eat locally grown slow food, you'll live longer?
Well, we do know, for example, that as soon as you pick a green vegetable, the folate levels will start to go down. So you're going to get the most of that if you're picking it right from your garden and eating it immediately, and you would expect to get almost none if you're shipping that green vegetable all the way from California to the East Coast or from Chile to the U.S. or whenever there's transportation involved.
So by the time you get the green beans to your door, even if you bought it at, say, like a Whole Foods or some organic grocery store, it has almost no value?
Well, I would hesitate to say almost no value, but the longer it's been since it was actually picked, the lower the nutritional value.
Well, I get that, but I'd be suspicious in the idea of making it seem – I mean, there's one way that might be a little better, but okay. But there's no there is no evidence that says in the end that locally grown food – you'll live long. Nothing scientific yet, although somebody may be studying that. East of the Rockies, let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania for Dr. Kayla Daniel. Mike?
Yeah. About 10, 15 years ago at Edinburgh University in Scotland, there was research done on men who used soy products.
Right.
And they found that their sperm count was reduced, and in some cases it even led to sterility. I was wondering if your guest ever ran across that study.
There's been a lot of studies done in the UK having to do with sperm quality and quantity. And yes, there's definitely evidence that that both are affected adversely, and it's definitely something that men might want to think about.
But not specifically that Edinburgh study.
I would have to check to see if that was one of the ones done with Dr. Richard Sharp, who's done a lot of the studies in Great Britain. And I do believe he was involved with the Edinburgh one.
And Mike, has this been a problem for you?
No, it's just when I heard it. I heard it on BBC
right.
World Service because I listened to shortwave.
Right.
And that really stuck in my mind. I don't take soy, but I know
right.
some people who do. And, you know, it just stuck in my mind. And it just, I wondered if she ran across that study.
I totally
That's
get
all.
That.
Curiosity.
We'll go look it up. Thanks, Mike. No, totally fair question. Let's go west of the Rockies. Tony is in Vegas. On Coast to Coast Live. Go ahead, Tony. You're talking with Dr. Daniel.
Dr. Daniel, I am hauling 5,000 gallons of soy base for soy milk. It is not a byproduct of anything. It was processed this morning out of crushed soybeans and water. I'm taking it to the processing plant where it is 100% organic. Everything they put in it is organic.
Well, go ahead. I mean, Dr. Daniel, what would you say to Tony?
Well, what I said was that traditionally in Asia, soy milk was part of the tofu-making process. They got to the soy milk stage, and then they went on and made tofu. So I wasn't saying that that today's soy milk that we would find on the shelves in our stores is a byproduct of tofu-making, because it's not.
But Tony, I mean, the point was taken, and I think this is pretty well stipulated in the book, that they couldn't sell soy milk, pure soy milk. Nobody would drink it. And they have to add things to it to make it palatable. And the more you add to it to make it more palatable, to make it more popular, the more especially the more sugar you add to it to make it popular, the more you really have to question the pure health benefit of that which you are driving across the country. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, well, what I've seen at the processing plant is organic corn sweetener.
Okay.
And then they take our soy base and they add more water and flavoring to it. And it's all organic, and that's it.
But the more sugar and the more flavor you add to it, the more you're basically making Nestle's Quick, aren't you?
I've drank the chocolate soy milk, and the vanilla tastes nothing like Nestle Quick.
Well, all right. Well, it wouldn't be as good as Nestle's Quick as far as I'm concerned either. But, I mean, if you're adding flavoring and sugar to it, I mean, aren't you making Nestle's Quick?
Well, you're adding flavoring and sugar to everything you consume.
Okay. Again, I'm going back to the trade-off for the benefits of soy. I understand if you're lactose intolerant, you can't have milk. Fine. But is there any other benefit to drinking the soy milk?
Tony? That I really couldn't tell you if there's a benefit.
Okay, well, that's what Dr. Daniel's saying. Dr. Daniel, Tony's got all that. I mean, he's proud of his work. He should be. You know, he's proud of the product. He's gotten his truck. What is it that's the health benefit of soy milk? Any health benefit at all, Dr. Daniel?
I don't see a health benefit with soy milk. And for people who are lactose intolerant, things like coconut milk would be a much better alternative. I'm concerned about the phytoestrogens, the plant estrogens in that soy milk. I'm concerned with the additives like vitamin D2, which has been linked to hyperactivity, coronary heart disease, and allergic reactions. Even the cheapest supermarket dairy milk has vitamin D3, which is far preferable. I'm concerned about the levels of sugar, and in an 8-ounce serving of soy milk, there's anywhere from 1 teaspoon to slightly more than a tablespoon in the brands that are popular. There are a couple sugar-free versions out there. I don't think they sell a lot of that. But I'm concerned about the soy milk itself, with the protease inhibitors and the phytates and the phytoestrogens, as well as the quality of some of the additives in it.
Let's go to Grace, first-time caller line in Michigan, on Coast to Coast Live for Dr. Kayla Daniel. Go ahead, Grace.
Hi, Dr. Daniel. First-time caller here. And I take pregnenolone, which is a bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. It's derived from soy and yam. And my question is it okay?
If you're using a product that is made by a compounding pharmacy, they do start with the soy estrogens, and it's basically changed in the laboratory into an entirely different molecule, and I do believe that is safe.
Awesome.
So how
about
that?
It's not soy anymore.
It isn't. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Grace. Appreciate it. Wildcard line. Thule is in Oregon on Coast to Coast Live. Thule?
Hello.
Hi, you're talking with Dr. Daniel.
All right. My question was, if you have ever dealt with, or in your studies of surveying the results of soy, if you've ever considered the way that the soy has been processed, because in my experience of dealing with soy, and we work with a company that does produce a soy-based product, is that it makes a difference in whether it's processed with a water washing process or whether it's with a chemical process, which obviously if it's being processed with chemicals are going to be harmful to your body no matter what you're processing, whereas with a water processing, it actually produces a soy protein that enables the body to be able to utilize it. And using this product that is soy-based, I personally had results with menstrual issues, and also my son has had results with ADHD symptoms. And so, and being very much into natural things and herbal things all of my life and eating really healthy, I figured that I had a pretty good health, but had been dealing with some health issues, and this soy-based product actually reversed and improved all of the issues that I was dealing with. And so I was just wondering what kind of research you have on the way that the soy is processed and what difference that makes.
Yes, I devote a good part of my book, The Whole Soy Story, to the different soy products and processing methods. And the problem is water washing has its uses, but the only way you're going to get rid of those plant estrogens is with chemical solvents. So you've got to get rid of you've got to get rid of those phytoestrogens if you're going to have a safe product. And to do that, actually what you need is the alcohol solvents to remove those. And most of the products that are in the marketplace do not have those soy phytoestrogens removed. We hear from so many companies that make soy protein shakes and so forth, and they're saying that their products are safer because they don't do the alkaline washes and this and that. Well, that might make them safer, but the bottom line is those products still have a whole lot of those plant estrogens, and that's what causes thyroid problems, reproductive health problems, and those are the risks with the phytoestrogens.
Hope that helps, Tuli. And wildcard line, Jack is hanging on for Dr. Kayla Daniel on Coast to Coast Live, talking about the whole soy story, the dark side of America's favorite, quote-unquote, health food. Jack, where are you with this?
Hey, Ian. It's an honor to be with you as usual.
Thank you.
And I would like to intimate the fact that when I was an aspiring athlete, running distances and working out with weights, I was really into using roasted soybeans. And I'll tell you, it really was a downer, and I could not put additional muscle mass on. All the way around, it was a downer, and I was attributing it to some other a dietary influence. I wanted to suggest whether the molecular size, as it is with dairy products, cows have three or four stomachs, which is required to digest the really high molecular weight dairy molecule. I'm wondering if it isn't the same with soybean. And also canola, our great Canadian tasty cousins there,
right,
like to export this canola. And I'll tell you what, the lady who called about the canola mayo, I hadn't had a mayo sandwich in years, if not decades, and I thought, okay, I'm going to pick some of this grapeseed vegenaise. Well, I grabbed the wrong jar. They look very similar, and I wound up with the canola vegenaise instead of the grapeseed. Well, I'll tell you what, I got such a horrendous case of GI distress. I was awake the entire night.
And so are your neighbors.
This might have been on one of those toasty hot nights. We had the air con running. So.
Okay, you may have been okay then. You had something to cover up for you. All right, so where are you with this, Dr. Daniel? I mean, does that all sound like your research?
It sounds like my research and what I've heard from so many fitness buffs and bodybuilders. Soy protein is just not a quality protein, and people who eat it long-term start to develop various health problems, in part because of the problems with soy itself, and in part because they're usually also on a low-fat diet. And sooner or later, if you're not getting the fats you need, you're going to develop major health problems.
Let's go to Doug and not be able to put on muscle mass, which I thought was the interesting part of that story, because that's what you'd heard from other bodybuilders, that they thought soy was the answer, concentrated soy protein powders, that sort of thing, and then that's kind of fallen out of favor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. East of the Rockies, Douglas is hanging on for Dr. Kayla Daniels. Douglas?
Ian, honor to be on with you, Dr. Daniels. I want to know if you can clear up a myth for me. I've always been told that the frozen vegetables were the freshest you could get because they're frozen right there at the plant pretty much after they're picked and chopped, and but still processed. But as far as canned or even fresh, frozen were the freshest. And myself, I've always been somewhat intimidated with organic because I know they don't use chemicals, and the fertilizer, I've been told, was feces. So am I correct or wrong on both, one or the other?
Great question. Yeah, I mean, certainly the animal feces would be the natural fertilizer, right?
Animal feces would be, but I'm not sure about the human feces. Certainly we're reading that about some of the Mexican produce.
Ooh. And I know that that probably lots of people out there are saying, oh, no, it's totally natural and you're being squeamish for nothing, but I'd rather eat something from the DuPont experimental factory than something I know is grown in human feces. Well, what about the other question, though? That's why I was kind of questioning before on the vegetable thing, because I've heard that, too, from people who would say organic, and you take it right from the, you know, especially if they've got the factory right there at the fields, they pick it, they cut it, and they freeze it, and then you get it to your house, and that the nutrient level is actually very high.
It can be higher. I'm not clear myself as to how the freezing will affect the quality of the food.
Okay. West of the Rockies, Ed, on Coast to Coast Live, and then we'll get in a bunch more calls coming up. For Dr. Kayla Daniel, go ahead, Ed.
Yes. Good evening. I'd just like to make some comments about the information that's been given out. I've
okay.
been a vegetarian for quite a while, and I eat a lot of soy products, but
yeah.
I balance my meals out. But the point I wanted to get to was that you were talking about the process for making tofu and all this, that's where being a sharp, being a good shopper comes in, because tofu, you can get it where it's just soybeans, water, and nigari, the way it was originally developed in past times. It doesn't have any additives as far as what the label says.
Okay.
And also, soy milk's the same thing. You can get plain soy milk, and because I've even made it myself from, you know, raw soybeans.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah, it is. If you make it correctly,
it's not that bad. But isn't that the problem right there when you say to somebody, here, try this, it's not that bad? That's generally not an endorsement of, oh, that's delicious. I mean, not that bad. It's just ahead of bad. It's like bad and then not that bad on the flavor scale, isn't it?
Even my daughter, when she was younger, she liked it. She didn't complain at all. And
My kids used to eat dirt. I don't know,
No. Come on.
I mean,
could you please work with me here?
But I mean, when you say not that bad, doesn't that indicate to you that it's not delicious?
It's not that bad.
You can't say it tastes good.
Okay.
It's just not
great.
That bad.
I love the taste of soy milk.
Okay. Raw soy milk.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Well, there's Ed's endorsement. The industry doesn't agree. In fact, we'll get Dr. Daniel on that coming up next on Coast to Coast Live. All right. So we got Pat East of the Rockies coming up, and I'll get to Chris, too, in just a second. But Dr. Kayla Daniel, the author of The Whole Soy Story, talking about kind of the big soy myths as well as the soy PR and how this whole, you know, from the beginning, the whole industry, the whole big bean, as I was calling it earlier, kind of conspired to make soybean be what it is today, which is the perception of a health food when, in fact, soybeans have to be extremely processed in order to get to a healthy, palatable state. Now, we were just hearing from Ed before the bottom of the hour, and he said raw soy milk, unflavored raw soy milk that he makes himself, he says, is not that bad. And that was his endorsement. In fact, the industry was quite aware, wasn't it, from the very beginning on how difficult it was to get people to drink soy milk? Dr. Daniel?
Soy milk because it's very beany in the taste. And so the manufacturers will try to cover up that beany taste with a whole lot of flavorings, everything from vanilla and chocolate to the 1 teaspoon to a tablespoon of sugar per serving for most
but,
of
I mean,
those.
And you had, like, memos on this. You saw, like, some of the PR from these from the industry. They knew this a long time ago. In order to get it to be where it is today, they had to find a way to make people want to drink it.
Yes, we've got a lot of written materials about that, and it's extremely interesting. But I would like to caution people about the problems with homemade soy milk. There's some machines out there on the market that that boast they can make soy milk in only 25 minutes without requiring pre-soaking of the beans. And the problem there is if you're not properly soaking the soybeans, skimming and cooking at length, it's going to be all natural, all right, but it's guaranteed to have all those anti-nutrients and toxins. We just plain need to process these things more completely in order to make them healthier.
Now, when you say soybeans have toxins in them, You have to be more specific. What kind of toxins? I mean, really dangerous stuff or just things
a lot of what we call anti-nutrients that, such as phytates that block mineral absorption. And this is a huge problem with soy milk because people are using it as a replacement for dairy products. And the homemade products that don't have the additives, they're just not going to have the vitamin D and the other things that people need to help them build good bones. So there's anti-nutrients like the phytates that block mineral absorption, protease inhibitors that make this stuff hard to digest, the oxalates that can lead to kidney stones and reproductive problems for women. There's just a lot of anti-nutrients that come naturally in the soybeans. And we don't want raw soybeans because we need them to be processed to try to get rid of some of these problems.
All right. We'll leave it there for the moment. And just to add to Ed's part of that conversation, and Pat and Chris and everybody else, we'll get as many callers as we can coming up next for Dr. Kayla Daniels, the whole soy story on Coast to Coast Live. This is Ian Punnett. All right, getting right back to the calls. By the way, it occurred to me, I went back to look at the cover. Something seemed wrong about what I just said. So I went back, and I believe somewhere about halfway during the show, I began to add an S under your name. So you're Dr. Daniel, but not Dr. Daniels.
Right.
My apology on that. I don't know what started me on that. East of the Rockies, Pat is on Coast to Coast Live for Dr. Kayla. I'll just say that. Pat, go ahead.
Oh, Dr. Daniel. I'm Pat, and I have a little granddaughter that was born. You know what galactosemia is?
Lactose intolerant?
And no, it's not. It's you're missing the enzyme. And my granddaughter has to live on soy milk and tofu. She's 13 years old now. Most babies die within the first 2 weeks. Are you there?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Okay. I didn't know if you were there. Anyway, one baby in 80,000 is conceived this way. Both parents have to carry the gene. She is missing the enzyme and the gene to get rid of milk and galactose. There are only 450 living in the United States that are alive.
Wow.
They live till they're about 28. It's the liver test they take on the babies when they're born. Now, she can't have milk. She can't go to a restaurant and eat unless you know what she's eating.
Right.
What's in it. I was wondering if there's something else she can take besides soy milk and tofu. Yeah, tofu.
Go ahead, Dr. Daniel. Your thought on that?
Coconut milk can be wonderful. It supports the immune system. It nourishes the thyroid, and it's a very healthy product. I would certainly suggest including some of that in her diet if coconut works for her.
Okay. Because I'm very concerned.
I would be concerned, too. One of the things I'd like to see in her diet would be making a bone broth, taking bones from meat, poultry, lamb, and adding water and a little vinegar, and that broth will be wonderful for her bones, for her digestive system, and promoting her overall health. So I'd like to see as much variety in her diet as is possible, given her condition, and not just relying on the soy.
Pat, can your granddaughter process meat in her body at all?
Oh, yeah, and you'd never know that. My granddaughter was, you wouldn't even know she had this.
Okay,
she's very athletic. My son quit his job to take care of her. She goes to school. She plays soccer.
Oh,
but
good.
They only live till they're about 28.
Oh, well, I hope that she continues to defy the odds on that like she has so far, and that maybe in the next few years they can come up with something that can help her. And thank you, Pat. Interesting question. First-time caller line, Chris, for Dr. Kayla Daniel. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Ian. I came into the show a little late, but I wonder if I could make 2 points. On the feminization claim, I was reading randomly around the Internet recently, and I ran into something that said basically that soy phytoestrogens, in fact, have only 1/500th the effect of normal human estrogen, which everyone has, and that they actually compete for estrogen receptors, and so I'm kind of a little skeptical.
Okay,
I think the real issue for feminization is hormones that have laced beef and dairy for the last half century. I guess the story I saw said that the European Union was eating $100 million in annual fines for refusing to allow American hormone-laced dairy into the country because they were finding feminization in infants, including breast development.
Okay, hang on a second. Take a breath. Okay. Dr. Daniel, go ahead.
First of all, I would never recommend to anyone commercial dairy products because of some of those reasons. But the thing is, soy is not the best alternative. And yes, it's true that the phytoestrogens have less power in the body than the regular estrogens. But the problem is the quantities of those phytoestrogens, and the quantities do add up, and they can be a serious problem, especially with babies on soy infant formula.
Okay, go ahead. And you had another point you wanted to make, Chris?
The other one was I glanced over site just a little briefly, and I'm skeptical about a few other things too. I read around various pro soy, anti soy things occasionally. And the phytic acid claim about minerals looked doubtful, too, because it said what I read was that if you ate the volume of soy required to get that kind of effect, you'd sort of look like a sumo wrestler with a gland condition. It just seems to me like it's kind of too bad there's not somebody making the case for the defense, too.
Stop.
Okay.
What do you mean by that? I have no idea what you mean by that.
She says basically that soy contains, if I recall it right, phytic acid, which reduces mineral.
No. I don't understand what you're saying, but somebody here making the case for it. If we have a guest on who's
I'm sorry. I'm just sort of wishing out loud.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm just saying, stop right there. Fine. But we don't do that generally on the show. We don't invite somebody on to talk about having seen UFOs, and we have somebody at the same time saying it's all hooey at the same time. I mean, people, we bring in all sorts of different points of view, and this is a year ago we had T. Colin Campbell on, and he talked about soy and all the other stuff and was, big time into veganism and thought everybody should give up all dairy and everything. So this is kind of a response to that. So fair enough, Chris. Well, let's go ahead and get to wild card line where Ronnie is hanging on Coast to Coast Live for Dr. Daniel. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm calling from Dade County, Florida. Are you both familiar with a book called Eat Right for Your Type by Dr. Peter James Adamo?
I am.
Yeah, I'm a B blood, and I came across the book a couple years ago. Well, before it, I tried to drink soy milk, and it just didn't agree with me. It gave me terrible gas, and it left a bitter aftertaste in my mouth, and I was thinking, what's all the hoopla about soy, you know? But then when I got the book, it explained it to me, you know. And according to a Dr. Adamo, he's a vegetarian, but according to blood type, he doesn't advocate everybody to be one, you know.
That makes sense to me.
And this thing about soy in the book there, if you're an A blood, he said it's like medicine, you know, soy and soy products. And if you're AB to a little lesser extent, if you're an O blood, it's kind of neutral if you go along with the book. But if you're a B blood, he kind of like he has a concern for B blood people eating it. And of course, I never liked tofu or tempeh or any of that stuff. You know, my mother was a B blood, and she was a vegan for 25 years, and she died of cancer just recently.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, go ahead, Dr. Daniel, respond to that. The idea maybe it's all in the blood type.
I have not found that to be true with the clients I've worked with. What I have seen is that soy is not neutral for O types. I mean, it might be neutral if you eat just a little bit once in a while. In that case, it would not be such a problem. But people who eat a lot of soy foods, drink a lot of soy milk, sooner or later, most of them run into problems, whether they're type A, O, B, or AB, and that's my experience.
When I eat the foods that are beneficial, they do fit my stomach like a hand in glove, you know. And when I talk to people about the book, and you know, and a lot of stuff, it does go along with the book in a lot of ways, you know.
All right, that sounds reasonable. Thanks, Ronnie. International caller line, John. For Dr. Daniel. Oh, John's gone. Okay, we go west of the Rockies. Steve in San Diego for... Oh, did I get to Steve either? You know, everybody's dropping because I've taken too long, and I'm so sorry about this. Matt on first for Dr. Kayla Daniel. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and like I say, I love your show. And, Doctor, earlier you alluded to the fact that whey isolates come from soy. If that's the case, how do you attribute the huge gains in the last decade that bodybuilders have been putting up in mass and muscle?
Dr. Daniel?
I didn't hear the first part of that question.
If not for soy, why?
Said that whey isolates were a derivative of soy. If that's the case, how are the bodybuilders making such huge mass gains?
Okay, the whey soy protein powders are not coming from soy. The whey is coming from dairy. And I prefer whole foods, but certainly if you're going to go for a soy protein powder, a whey-based one would be far better than a soy protein powder.
Okay, I think you helped made a lot of bodybuilders feel better tonight because we're all ready to throw away our whey protein.
Yeah, but whey, do you look at that can? Is it? It's not soy protein, it's just whey protein.
Whey protein comes from dairy.
Okay, because you mentioned whey earlier when you were talking about the fluid that was around the tofu square, and you referred to that as whey.
Yes, that would not be a dairy whey. That would be like curds and whey, with the tofu being the curds part and the watery part being the whey part, but not
properly being the
whey.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, I think you're all right. And certainly, you know, bodybuilders, like, the last thing they want to hear about is feminization. Those guys are spending all that time pumping iron, getting those big guns together. That's the last thing they want. All right, Jill on Easton, that may do it for us. Maybe we can get one more after this for Dr. Kayla Daniel, the whole soy story, the dark side of America's quote-unquote favorite health food. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
You're talking with Dr. Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I understand what you're saying, but I believe that it's more the way things are processed. I see what you mean about the soy. I've heard about the ingredients that they, you know, they put it in everything. It sneaks into everything, and I understand that's not good because it's byproducts. But I am vegan, and as far as the organic, you know, the soy burgers, all the Boca burgers, the Silk soy milk, I've been eating this for years, and I have not had a problem with it. And I don't really see how, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that it's not a miracle food, but I think a lot of people don't eat it because it's a miracle food. They eat it because they don't want to support the awful farm industry and the butchering of animals.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And I think, can I just jump in and say, that's a great political point for eating a type of food over another. But again, it comes right down to is the health claims are unsubstantiated. At least that's what I'm getting by reading the book and in this conversation. And I think that's kind of a different conversation. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just trying to say that it's not that it's – I mean, if you're eating it to get health benefits from it, but if you're eating it, you know, I mean, you'd have to eat protein. So obviously instead of eating a burger, I'm going to eat a soy burger. So I don't see how that's a problem. Also, as far as the bodybuilders, I know there are – they're not many, obviously, but there are vegan bodybuilders. If you look it up online – there are some that are having great success, and they're vegans.
Okay.
It can be done.
You know, interesting you should mention that. My sister-in-law was a vegetarian as long as I knew her. She got married to my brother when I was a teenager. So I've known her forever and ever and ever. She was a vegetarian until she became a bodybuilder. And she stopped being a vegetarian and started eating meat and became this, like, massive bodybuilder. So kind of the reverse story in my own life. But Dr. Daniel, you want to comment on that?
Well, I'm certainly glad that Jill is not having health problems. And I would like to say that in every case, it's a matter of risk and not certainty. So some people are affected more than others. I have hundreds and hundreds of letters from vegans who are saying to me, why didn't somebody tell us? Why didn't somebody warn us? Because these people are eating massive amounts of soy and using them as both dairy replacement and meat replacement. And you don't need to eat massive amounts of soy in order to be a vegan. There are alternatives. There are certainly better alternatives. And the more varied the diet, the healthier. And the UK government has warned that vegans are at the greatest risk of thyroid damage from soy products. So I'm not alone in these concerns.
Let's go to Melanie, west of the Rockies, if we're quick, on Coast to Coast Live. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hi. My question was related to soy and multiple sclerosis.
Great question, because I know people who are on MS and they watch their diet very closely. Go ahead, Dr. Daniel.
I don't have any research on soy and multiple sclerosis. So we do know that soy can affect the neurological systems, and but I don't have the scientific evidence for MS. Usually the first thing to look at is mercury toxicity, and there's many other possible factors as well.
Well, where do protease inhibited, where do those, what diseases are most related to problems with the protease inhibitors?
That would be digestive problems, and pancreatitis would be okay. High on the list of problems there.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much for answering all these questions. I had probably more questions for you in the last hour and a half than guess I can think of in fairly recent memory. A lot of people jumping in on the conversation and enjoyed it. And the whole soy story, for people who are really big time into being vegans or vegetarians, you got to take a look at it before you convince yourself that soy is always the way to go. And thank you, Dr. Daniel.
Thank you.
Have a terrific night.
Thank you.
I hope somebody calls and tells Art Bell about the gel bra thing I mentioned earlier and how his question led to comments on my other radio show, which led to reporters calling TSA and DHS and getting gel bras banned by about Tuesday. Art's got to know that story. It all started with the comments he made at the beginning of the show last week. Let's find out what Art Bell has to say now. Deus te amat. And I do too.